It must be Halloween season because I feel like I've been tricked. This is the Issues Watch podcast. Hello, and welcome to the Issues Watch podcast. I'm Brad Muniz, your host for the bi-weekly accounting and auditing episodes. I'm the partner in charge of accounting and auditing at Sobel & Company. These A&A episodes now qualify for nano CPE credits. If you're interested in earning CPE credits for this and other episodes, hit the pause button, head over to njcpa.org/nano to find out how. A quick disclaimer, the views and statements expressed herein are my own and not necessarily those of NJCPA or Sobel Co. Well, thank you very much for listening to that trick comment, because the reason why I say that is I attended a lease seminar. I know we're back with the lease, but this is going to be fun with these comments I make today. Remember, they're my own, not the society or Sobel & Company. So I attended a lease seminar last week put on by Plain English Accounting. That's the AICPA's organization that has information about helping firms and companies on accounting and auditing matters. I strongly recommend that you look into it if you need that resource. Anyway, and the presenter, who was a great presenter, who was talking about the leases, and at the end, towards the end, he said, with related party leases, if you don't have a legally binding lease, 842, the new lease pronouncement would not take effect to you. Now, all the other seminars I've attended from many different organizations, including mine that I've given, which I'm not saying is absolutely correct, but with it, but every other seminar that I've attended by many, many different people all said that you have to, if you have related party lease, you have to superimpose what type of lease term that you would have. Left it at that, you know, expanded it a little bit more, but never really commented. I reached out to a very knowledgeable A&A person, Frank, and asked him if he's heard this. And he said, no, I've heard something about this legally binding thing. And I reached out further to the CPEA, Center for Plain English Accounting, to ask him. And they said, yeah, in the footnotes, they have this in there. And it's just blowing my mind of all this stuff that we're going through, that they actually have this clause in there. If there's no legally binding contract, the 842 doesn't apply. So what am I going to do? Tell all my clients that have related party leases to rip them up? Crazy, okay? Then the next day, after I attended that seminar, the next day, I get an email from the FASB that they're having a meeting coming up very, very soon that says one of the topics on the agenda, get ready for this one, the topic on the agenda is a postponement of the lease accounting for certain nonprofits and private companies. After all this that we've been going through, I can't tell you how many seminars Frank and I have done on leases that I've attended, that all of a sudden they're saying that they're having a meeting for potential postponement. So when I hear more about it, I will let you know. But that's the latest I have. I could not believe that that came out. And that's the trick that I was talking about. After, I thought my costume was great. I thought I was going to get a treat. I know the timing of this. And Rachel's sitting here going, don't mention timing. It just feels like it's crazy. This isn't Thanksgiving. Okay. There is a proposal to amend interim disclosure requirements. This is all about FASB first. Okay. Proposal to amend interim disclosure requirements. The current SX, which is SEC reporting regulations, is significant events and transactions that have occurred since your last annual filing. Okay, they're going to now start consider focusing on transaction or specific events. Okay. As we mentioned, I think, I don't remember how many episodes it was. You should go back and look at the prior episodes, especially if you're starting to get nano credits for it. But look at some other prior episodes and look at also Jeff's Issues Watch and Ralph's and everything. But the FASB put out a practical expedient for private companies on valuing equity-based compensation. When you do equity-based compensation, you'd have to find different ways to value your company. Public company is generally easier because you're using the stock that's out there of the company, but private companies don't have that. And they said in there that if you use a methodology similar to a 409A valuation, that's for your tax people. I know Harold Bookbinder is very happy that I said that. But if you use a 409A valuation, that will qualify. But then that makes it easier, so you don't have to go get comparables. That's usually done, might be done inside the valuation. But it's a practical expedient that's out there. And I recommend that if you do have equity-based compensation in a private company, and there are, especially in the technology companies and life sciences, if you do have it, please go look at this and save yourself a little bit of trouble. Okay, let's go on to, and there's more FASB stuff. I'm trying to give you some of the hotter items or the bigger items. AICPA update, ARSC update, ARSC. Accounting and Review Services Committee, ARSC. It sounds like Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball, ARSC. It's a problem with accountants. We can't come up with anything cool. Remember last time I said the stand back provision. We got to get the AICPA and the FASB come up with some cool terms. Otherwise, we're going to keep getting picked on the playground. Anyway, the ARSC has a proposal. Remember, Accounting and Review Services Committee has a proposal to align the quality management standards. Remember, quality management proposal came out a while ago for the audits. And it's very, very significant as to how you're reviewing your quality processes within your firm and your audits. So not to be outdone, the ARSC said, okay, we want to review our quality management requirements as it relates to accounting and review services, a similar audit. But the one thing I do like about it is that they're aligning things. So long as they don't make it so much so, and remember, I do peer reviews, some other people do peer reviews that you know, and if you'll have firms that just do comps or just comps and reviews only, no audits, it can't be as overbearing. But the aim is, as it has always been, is for quality audits and for quality reviews and comps and just generally quality of service that we're providing. Okay, a couple other smaller items to discuss. The SEC put out a good article that can make available to you. It's a statement on importance of high quality independent audits and effective audit committee oversight. Okay, as I just said in the previous section on the AICPA, high quality audits or audit quality, that's what the AICPA has been focusing on, that's what SEC focuses on. Remember, we're here to protect the public. In working in the audit capacity, the review capacity, I know in the compilation we can be not independent, so this is something that the SEC is focusing on. It was a very good article. I recommend that you look into it. It was a release that they put out. It's not as much an article. I'm not just sitting here reading newspaper and telling you, hey, here's what it's saying. The PCAOB release their forum for auditors and small businesses, auditors of small businesses and broker dealers. When they used to do them live, I would go every year. I strongly recommend that you look into this. If you do audits of small companies, SEC companies, because it's PCAOB, or if you do broker dealers, they're great sessions. You don't get CPE for it. I know everybody just wants to try and get CPE, like this for NanoCredit. But I think that they're great sessions. You get to hear some insight as to what the PCAOB, I think there was somebody from FINRA on it. We watched them in my office last week. FINRA, they usually have somebody from the SEC. So I recommend that you do look into them and listen to them. They're taped and you can watch them at your leisure. Okay, the last item, the DOL has said that they're going to do examinations of audits, and you should just be aware that the DOL will be doing this. I will have more information on some 5500 changes in one of the future episodes, but you should just know that. So why do I also bring that up? Because it's perfect timing. Because in closing, on December 1st from noon to 1, I will be moderating a panel presented by my colleague Liz Harper, who handles our EBP practice, and Michael Gilchrist from Rotenberg Merrill, who actually does the presentations for the NJCPA Accounting and Auditing Resource Group on EBPs, on what to expect from the DOL's 2021 review of employee benefit plan audits. If you're interested, I strongly recommend you go and look at this, because they did this in the past. And I know Liz is going to talk about that, what happened in the past and what it kind of tells you what they're going to do now. You should go to the njcpa.org/events for more information to register. And as always, I recommend that you join the NJCPA Accounting and Auditing Standards Interest Group by going to njcpa.org/groups. Thank you for joining us. We'll be back with a new A&A episode in 2 weeks. You can access all Issues Watch podcasts at njcpa.org/podcasts.